Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show there, and that was Bamily, Above the Clouds. And on the line, I've got Matt Hicks. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you for having me.
That's all right. Now, folks, Matt's here to, well, not here. He will be here in the weekend on Saturday doing a filmmaking workshop. And you're writer, producer, director, slash actor, everything for the Waikato indie feature Home Kills, which premiered at the New Zealand International Film Festival last year. And you've got another one on the way. So do you want to just give us a quick overview of what you'll be doing on the day, Saturday, here in Whangaroa?
It's basically just a massive excuse for me to go out there to sunny Raglan and drink some beautiful Raglan roast.
Right.
But before that, I've got to earn my keep. So we're going to be doing a little workshop, and it's titled Matt Hicks Producing Films, What I've Learned So Far. So it's basically just going to be a little journey about my kind of journey from kind of mucking around making YouTube videos with my mates as a teen up to producing fully-fledged features and all the trials and tribulations, successes and losses, all that kind of stuff on my journey. I don't profess to being Tyler or Peter Jackson or anything like that, but if people can come along, have a few laughs and just kind of learn from my mistakes, then I think it'll be a beneficial workshop for everybody.
Okay, so you've made an independent feature. What I was going to say, what's the hardest thing about that? But I'm going to guess raising enough money to do it might be pretty challenging.
Short answer: everything about it is hard. money is definitely hard. But yeah, if you come along on Saturday, I will tell you everything.
Right. Okay. Now we actually had a film crew in the studio here on Waitangi Day, and there was a guy called Jared. I didn't get his last name, but I think he knew you, and he said, "Ask him how long it took to make."
Yes, Jared was my director of photography on my film. It took longer than I wanted to, but yes, it's all part of the journey.
How do you get to the point where you think you're ready to actually make a full length feature?
For me, I just kind of I'd created a lot of content for a while in YouTube, and then I started like taking it more seriously, and I started just helping out on short film sets, and kind of like saw how a set kind of operated. And after a couple of years of that, once I really understood, I was like, yeah, I can do this. Like a feature's just like a longer short. I guess I didn't think about it too much, you know. I think I was very naive, and naivety is a bit of a blessing, I think.
Yeah, it can carry you a long way, can't it?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. And you've got another feature due soon. That's The Tavern. That's, how close is that to coming out?
Yes, we're on the final stages, just getting the original score done and some colour grading. So, yes, hopefully we can get that into the New Zealand International Film Festival this year. So Home Kills was in it last year, and it's a massive thing. So that's the target with that film, which would be around August, September, that festival.
Have you found that once you've made your first feature and you're known and it got played at a festival, that a few more doors have opened?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You definitely have a little bit more credibility, and people kind of take you a bit more seriously. Saying that, they're only slightly open. They're never fully open. There's a while to go until they're fully open, I think.
Are there extra challenges making films in New Zealand? Like, I interview a lot of bands who are coming through, and I'm always asking, you know, have you still got the day job? And most of them have still got the day job. Are there extra challenges here, or is it in some ways easier being in a smaller place to get
noticed?
That's
a really good question, mate. I personally still have quite a few day jobs. I'm a quiz host during the week, work for Waikato Screen, and also a marriage celebrant, and in the weekends I DJ. So
wow. Right.
I have to scramble together a living, and I've got some many other friends, filmmaking friends, that are much higher up than me, that have to get on building sites now and then and do whatever between gigs. So yeah, that's a hard part in New Zealand. I guess the good part of New Zealand is we're not Hollywood. We don't have Brad Pitts or George Clooney's or massive A-listers here. So you can get some really, really talented people both behind the camera and in front of the camera to come and work on your projects. So the gap to getting to the top is a lot smaller in New Zealand. So I think that's an advantage.
Mm-hmm. So you started off messing around on YouTube, and I guess you've grown up in an era where camera gear is pretty accessible, and then you can put things straight on YouTube. How much of a difference do you think that's? What sort of difference is that making? Is it producing more talent? Is it opening to everyone, or is it too wide and there's too many people?
No, I don't believe there's too many people. More the merrier is my kind of philosophy. You know, like I want to have a feast, not famine kind of mindset in life. Yeah, I mean it's amazing. I reckon it's really, really cool and really, really inspiring that your average kid nowadays can pick up an iPhone, maybe buy a little tripod, buy a little mic. You know, for under $1,000, you can make a movie. There's been a New Zealand feature film that was in the International Film Festival a couple of years ago with Mark Hadlow and Jed Brophy that was filmed, two titans of the New Zealand acting world, that was filmed entirely on an iPhone. Like, that's pretty inspiring stuff. So,
Why did they choose that? Because they couldn't afford anything else? Or were they like, actually, we can do this and we want to try it?
Yeah, I think the budget for that was like $15,000, and it was filmed over 4 or 5 nights during the graveyard shift at a petrol station. And yeah, they just did it, you know.
That's interesting, actually, too, because that I would have thought, you know, with a phone that you'd want to get, make sure you've got good lighting just to make it a bit easier. But they've gone and chosen overnight at a petrol station, so the lighting's going to be challenging as well.
Yeah, I don't know how they did it, but it was a very good tale. They did well.
So you talk about in the sort of description of what's happening, you talk about the highs and lows that you've had, and you've had, you know, big highs and big lows. What do the lows consist of? Is it just feeling like you can't get your dream done, basically?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, there's funny highs and there's funny lows, you know, like rejection's just part of it, and you've got to learn to deal with that and move forward. You think your thing's the greatest thing in the world, and you've just got to accept that not everybody thinks that way. So dealing with that kind of stuff and just kind of comical though. Like a story I always tell is I took months to shoot a horse racing scene with real horses, real riders on a real life racetrack, and you know, it took months of preparation, health and safety, blah blah blah.
Yep.
But one of the conditions of me doing it on this track was I had to go and walk around and pick up all the horse shit and put it in a bag. You know, you never have Tiger or Peter Jackson or anybody doing that. So, yeah, that's another little low, you know. Like, that's just a reality of the low-budgie kind of world we're dealing in.
Yeah, I guess that it doesn't sound too bad. I'm sure there's worse things out there. So starting on YouTube, I'm trying to figure out exactly when you were born, because YouTube's changed so much. Was it during a period when anyone could make money out of YouTube? Did you ever aspire to that?
No, I didn't really. I'm 37.
Okay, yeah, probably a bit too old for that.
Yeah, a bit too old for that. Probably like when I was 20 or 21, I started kind of mucking around with it. But yeah, it was really kind of sporadic. I just kind of did it whenever all of our schedules aligned and stuff, you know. And there was one year though that I kind of made a goal. I think it was 2015, where I was like, oh, I'll try produce something every week over 52 weeks, and I did that, and that was basically the first time I kind of took it seriously. And it was just like kind of a challenge to see if you can make something up, shoot it, and edit it in a quick turnaround. So, yeah.
And was it?
And
was that kind of regularity and kind of a discipline that they gave you for a year, was that good for you, just your development as a filmmaker?
Oh, massively. Yeah, it's just you have to do it because you've made a goal, you know. And you just get quicker, you know. You get quicker at writing, quicker at editing, and anything like that is going to be beneficial when you step up a level. So, was good.
I'm kind of curious if you think that, like now we've got, you know, I mean, YouTube's quite short, but now we've got short film, like, you know, under a minute videos that people are making really regularly and watching. How much of that, and it's developed its own techniques and language and approach, especially with, you know, the speed of everything. How much of that is flowing over into, like, feature films?
Very good question. It's real funny, eh? There's a bit of a debate at the moment in the local kind of filmmaking community about, you know, TikToks and these short-form videos and all that. And a lot of them are kind of like, oh, you know, it's not real art. I suppose to a degree it's not, but there is an art in making something that short and that attention-grabbing. I hope, like, I worry a little bit, like, I hope TikTok is not rotting the attention spans of our next generation, because I fear it might kill the full-length feature, and that would be a shame. I think going forward, you know, if this is what people's brains are used to and stuff, like, we've, as filmmakers, wanting to do these long-form things, maybe we have to start incorporating some of that short form style into our work, because, you know, if you don't adapt, you die.
I imagine that like the start of the film is the hardest bit. Sometimes I find myself thinking, okay, I'm going to invest 10 minutes now, and because I've watched enough short stuff, I'm going to invest 10 minutes and maybe I don't feel like I'm into it, but after 10 minutes I might be into this, and so it's kind of worth making the investment. But there must be I guess that also, the flip side of that is when you make a feature film that you need to start off bang right away, you know, no slow getting into it and creating a vibe. You kind of need to just dive straight into the action.
Yeah, that was always the philosophy that I kind of thought of when, you know, I've been writing my films. I just remember, like, as a teenager, like, sitting around with my, like, dad. You know, who's like 60 something now, and if it didn't grab him in the first 5 minutes, you know, he'd change the channel. So it can only be worse now. So maybe that's something we all just need to do, you know, straight away, hook us in.
Now another question too for filmmakers out there, like, you've made a feature, but I know there's so much stuff that goes on outside of the filmmaking, because you've got to promote it, you've got to fund it, you've got to spend a lot of time doing things that on the face of it seem to have nothing to do with filmmaking. Like just how much of your work is that?
Oh, the pre-production is the shoot goes in the blink of an eye. The pre-production is so much, you know, it's months and months and months and years. It's just a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't really relate to film. You know, it's meeting people, trying to raise funds, talking with actors, talking with crew, locations, contracts. I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like stretching before the big match, you know. But the stretching takes up 80% of the day. Yeah.
Okay, that much.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because this is one of those things, filmmaking, that people get into because for the love of it, and anything artistic is like that. You get into it for the love of it, but then it's got to be sustainable as well, and you've got to do all these other things.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I imagine you also have to start promoting it on social media as well, even though you might have wanted to avoid doing short films. You might have to go there regardless.
Yeah, the social media, eh? Like me, I'm a unashamed kind of social media self-promoter.
Okay.
I think you have to be. If you're not social media inclined, if you're not that kind of person, I think you need somebody in your corner that is. You know, we're in the attention economy, you know, and attention equals currency, so... Yeah, it's important to get people invested in your project, be it as extras or providing locations or giving you money or coming to your film when it's in the cinema. Like, yeah, social media is everything, you know, and it can get you out of a pickle very quickly if you just, you know, we need three dogs this afternoon at 3:30. Please help us. It's magic.
Right, for that as well. Yeah, everything happens really quickly on social media. All right, so folks, we're talking to Matt Hicks, who's going to be here on Saturday at the Old School doing a workshop. Now, it says you can do morning session or afternoon session or both. Do you just want to give us the lowdown on what's happening in the morning session and the afternoon session? Briefly, but like giving people a taste, not the whole session.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. I know we're having pizza at 12:30, which I'm very excited about. Okay. What's the best pizza joint out in Raglan?
I'm not going to say on the radio, mate. There's just no way I'm going there.
We'll
I won't be able to. There. Yeah, I won't be able to shop in half of the town otherwise.
Briefly, in the morning, we're going to be talking about pre-prod and pitching, so I'm going to basically introduce myself because, like, you know, who is this guy? Play a couple of trailers and give you a bit of history, talk about kind of YouTube videos, how to fund the filmmaking dream, both keeping your head out of water day job-wise, like how I kind of do it and how others do it, and then also just raising capital for things, writing scripts, how you should write to your budget, all that kind of stuff, how to convince people to work on your dream for little to no money, auditioning actors, pitching your idea to investors, crowdfunding tips and strategies for successful crowdfunding. Then we'll do a bit of a Q&A, and then we'll have the best pizza in Raglan around 12.
Okay. And we'll find out what that is. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You'll find out the time. and then a bit of a break, and then the afternoon.
Yeah, and then after the afternoon, we're going to do some pitching and talk about post-production stuff, editing, pitching to cinemas, film festivals, independent distribution, marketing strategies, all this kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and I mentioned there about critiques, and this is an interesting thing because when you're making something, doing anything creative, you can get so deep into it and you love it and you've made this beautiful thing, and then you show it to someone else and they're like really unimpressed.
Yeah,
I presume you've had that experience coming up.
Yeah, like you know, when you're a little kid and you're like really proud of finishing second in your school cross country, but then your grumpy old uncle at Christmas tells you, you know, you should have got first. you need kind of a grumpy old uncle that doesn't really care to just give you some hard facts sometimes. In the editing critique, and it'll hurt you a little bit, but ultimately it will make you better, because if one person's thinking that, then there'll be a whole bunch of others as well.
Yeah, and do you look back at your older stuff, and does it make you cringe, or are you just kind of philosophical, like, I can see what I was trying to do there, and I was making headway, but I wasn't there yet?
It definitely makes you cringe.
Right.
This movie that I'm about to release, you know, like it's a couple of years old now that we've shot, and before cameras even started rolling on that, I was very self-aware that in 10 years, 20 years, whatever, we are going to cringe at that. Mm. But I think if you don't, then you're not developing, you know. There's so many things I'd do differently, but I mean, I'm sure Peter Jackson, you know, cringes at his first ones, you know, all that splatter stuff, you know, brain dead, bad taste, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
If you're not cringing, you're not self-aware and you're not developing. So yeah, embrace the cringe, but be proud of it anyway, because it's who you were at the time.
Yeah, and you can't get there right away.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, Matt, look, been really awesome to talk to you this morning, and I should remind people too that Jacqueline's got some awesome subsidies on this, so it's only going to cost you $5, and you get the best pizza in Raglan, and you get all this from Matt, and I've just checked, now there is a at raglanfilmfestival.co.nz is where you can sign up for the workshop. Officially the closing date has been and gone, but I just spoke to Jacqueline before we went on the air, and if you email her, email's on there, you can still get in for this course. Thanks for talking to us, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron, and do come out, team, because this is basically my TED talk. I'm cool. Really pumped to share some experience with you guys. And cheers, Jacqueline. Cheers, Raglan Radio. And cheers, Wakato Screen.
All right.
Big ups. We'll see you Saturday.
Thanks for your time, Matt.
Cheers, mate.
Okay, folks, that was Matt Hicks there. And, yeah, I did speak to Jacqueline just before I went on the air with Matt. And Jacqueline at raglanartscentre.co.nz is the email. You can find that if you go to raglanfilmfestival.co.nz. So don't be put off by the fact that it says registration closed yesterday. You can still book, but do it as soon as possible because they've got to organise the catering with those pizzas. I'm not sure if... actually, Jacqueline's listening, I think, so she'll hear about the pizzas and she'll decide what the best pizza in Raglan is. I hope.